Away this week is David Tennant. His brilliance in portraying Doctor Who has defined the Time Lord for a generation of children, and indeed redefined it for parents, who up until he took over had thought the only real Doctor Who was in possession of a mop of curls and a long stripy scarf. Raffish, dynamic, solitary and daring, his Saturday evening intergalactic adventures have secured BBC One blockbusting figures and the actor himself the sort of household name status normally reserved for Premiership footballers and rock stars. Yet, despite being voted the best Doctor Who of all time, he says, "I always have that Presbyterian voice in my head saying, could do better." But, he admits, "I quite like that." You don't give interviews very often, I don't think, David Tennant.
I do a lot of interviews, but I tend to stick to the light-hearted, frothy stuff. I don't do many interviews like this often, no.
Okay, and that is just to try to preserve a part of you that's not the Doctor and is not out there all the time.
I think so, yes.
Okay.
Shall I leave now?
Sorry. The walking down the street stuff, I mean, I said Premiership footballers and rock stars, it's true, isn't it? You do inhabit that very particular area of fame. Do you walk down the street on your own?
I certainly do.
On your own?
Yes, but I often with a hat and keeping moving, yes.
Right, so it's not making eye contact.
That helps, yes. But you can't pick and choose the elements that you would like to experience. And I wouldn't have given up the experience of doing this show and being involved in this show for anything in the world. It's been the most wonderful 4 years I could imagine. And to an extent, I was doing it for my 8-year-old self, you know, who had loved this show and had grown up a huge, avid fan.
Yeah.
And that 8-year-old self is still a huge part of who I am now. So I think I felt the responsibility not to break it. I certainly feel very proud and relieved that it didn't go wrong on my watch.
When you come into contact, I'm sure this must happen to you all the time, with those beaming little 8, 9, 10-year-old faces just staring at you.
Mm.
Are you sort of looking back at yourself when you see their eyes and see what it means to them?
Yeah, it's quite overwhelming, actually. The sort of things that kids sometimes say to you and you think, oh, that's me. That's exactly how I felt. And then, of course, you think, well, I don't want to ruin this moment. I want to fulfil this moment for this little kid. And I remember meeting Tom Baker, you see.
Ah,
so
when and how and where?
In John Mingus in Glasgow, he was signing some books. And I waited in line.
Did you?
And he signed my book. I've still got it somewhere.
Did you talk to him or did you?
Yes, I did. I asked him about his scarf because I was wearing the scarf that my granny had knitted me.
Right.
I think I asked him who knitted his. He came up with some suitably surreal answer. But to be honest, I was just so gobsmacked that he was sitting there in front of me that it was a very important life moment for little me. So you always try and remember that and try and recreate that for any young faces that might be staring up at you.
What a perfect piece of symmetry. Let's begin then with your first disc, David. What have you chosen?
I could have chosen any and every track from this band. They're probably my favourite band of all time. Very Scottish, just a fantastic band. They write the most spectacular songs. Big-hearted, uncynical, passionate songs. When I was at drama school, my friend and I, Alan McHugh, we went busking on Sucky Hall Street as the Proclaimers. This is from their very first album, one of their best songs, Over and Done With.
This is a story of our first teacher.